It's a wonderful privilege to be here for this service of baptism, confirmation, and reception. Let's pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Please be seated. Linda, Lucas, being baptized as adults, and together with Rory, Gus, Charlotte, Chloe, Dylan, Ella and Kim, confirming the promises yourselves that were made at your baptism on your behalf, it's an opportunity to publicly declare, yes, I want to belong to the church. I want to stand up for what I believe. It's saying yes to Jesus' call, follow me. Follow him throughout on your journey through life. And Mark is saying, yes, at this stage of my journey, I want to live out my baptismal promises in the context of this church, as part of the Anglican Church. Let me say, it's an opportunity which will lead to other opportunities. Opportunities to grow into the person God wants you, God has designed you to be, to grow in your desire to be used by God, and so opportunities to serve, to discover your vocation, your calling as a Christian, a follower of Jesus. Really, it's about confirmation, reception. Really, it's about taking responsibility for your faith, representing Jesus Christ in the world. We are Christ's ambassadors, God's co-workers in the world. This morning's also an opportunity for me, as I do each Sunday at the moment, visiting parishes, to encourage you to be involved in Hope 25, Hope in an Uncertain World, an intentional season of sharing the hope that we have in Jesus, to be ambassadors for Christ together, in other words. From Easter Day, that's 20th of April next year, if you're wondering, to Pentecost, the 8th of June. It's about each parish and community acting locally, thinking, you know, what's best for here in Toorak? It might be one event, it might be a number of events, but it's thinking about that and what might follow. And if you haven't already, St John's can sign up to the Hope 25 email list and get ideas from the resources. It's something to start praying for and planning now. The thing with opportunity is it's so easy to put something in the way. It's so easy to be scared of it, to be afraid of what taking the opportunity will mean. And that's what we see happening in our gospel today, when Jesus responds to a man rushing up to Jesus, falling on his knees before Jesus and asking, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" The rich young ruler, we get that phrase, he's not called here in Mark, but we get that from Matthew, where we're told he's young, and Luke, we're told that he was a ruler. So that's how we get that phrase, rich young ruler. He's a well-to-do man, a wealthy man, but also an anxious man, uncertain about the way to go. Apparently he has all that his heart desires, but in kneeling, he's confessing his pain because somehow he knows that real life, something is passing him by. Good teacher, what must I do to share in it? To have the sense of purpose, the sense that the hope that we see described in Colossians, the hope that goes with that. Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." Why so anxious? In other words, God is good, the God you believe in. Let this thought free you from all your uncertainty and all your anxiety. Jesus also says, you know the commandments. I don't know about you, but I'd be expecting Jesus to say, believe the gospel, believe the good news. Well, I think why he says you know the commandments is because he knows that what's lying behind the question is, part of the rich young ruler's anxiety is, what does it mean to be a true Jewish person? You know, someone who's actually defined by being focused on keeping the law. And even though we might say as Christians, we are not defined by that, let's not forget that Jesus came to abolish the law, not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Who will be vindicated when God finally acts? We might say, will we have done enough? He said to him, teacher, I've kept all these since my youth. Jesus, looking at him, loved him. And what we see in what follows is a profound example of Jesus, the Word, judging the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This man is so honest in his restlessness, in his striving for the good. Yet despite his efforts, the kingdom of God has remained somehow an alien and distant reality for him. He's a seeker, but he cannot find what he's looking for, and he can't buy it either, whether it's with money or with virtues. So what is there in between? The answer Jesus gives the man is world-shaking. Go, sell all you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. God. God is good. If that's at the heart of your life, you don't have to cling to anything else, money, possessions, whatever. What you know, what you're comfortable with. You found your security in God, who is your wealth and the ground of your existence. Those who know that God holds them fast can let go of everything else without losing anything. Security, at the end of the day, where do we find our security? That's the question this gospel leaves us with as Jesus responds to this man. He's seeking, he goes away grieving. Now the thing is, Jesus' followers also felt pretty uncomfortable, I'd say extremely uncomfortable about this. And really that's never changed. It's a profoundly disturbing story, maybe a bit challenging for those being baptized, confirmed and received today, but there it is. It can be a profoundly disturbing question, especially for us. Wealth is relative. Yes, we are in a cost of living crisis as a nation, but compared to others in the world, even in the face of this crisis, we are wealthy. Jesus knows it's disturbing and says as much to his disciples, how hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And when they're puzzled, he calls them, his followers, children. Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. We're children of the Father, God, who is good. Money, possessions, yes, they open doors in our world, but not the door of the kingdom of God. Well, so then the disciples ask, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, for mortals it's impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. That is a truth that reverberates throughout Scripture. Nothing is impossible with God, was the text the bishop preached on when I was received into the Anglican Church myself. It's the answer the angel gives to Mary Jesus' mother's puzzlement at the news that she, a virgin, will bear a son. Jesus and how her cousin Elizabeth, an old woman, will also give birth. Just as in Genesis, when another old woman, Sarah, laughs in disbelief at the news she will bear a son. The Lord's response is to ask, is anything too wonderful for the Lord? And as the prophet Jeremiah declares to God, nothing is too hard for you, when he buys the field in anticipation of the return from exile. That's hope in what was at that time a very uncertain world. Children, brothers and sisters, you and I, who find among one another the riches of a new sense of security when following Jesus, we might have given up former support. For some people, being baptized is a radical departure from their family and can mean a loss of their earthly family. Whatever we give up, money, possessions, isn't the reward great now and always, as the first will be last and the last will be first? Children, those following, even his inner circle of his disciples, if you read on in this chapter, are afraid. Maybe you can identify with that, especially those being baptized, confirmed, and received. What will it mean for you to be Christ's ambassador? I just want to say it can be so easy to see so many obstacles. And I think you are a real sign today, an encouragement, that nothing is worth preventing us from being too big, too grown up, from following Jesus. Don't forget, we've just had the child brought, just in the verses before, the child brought by Jesus, who's saying, into the centre, saying, you've got to be like this. So no one can be too grown up for this. Nothing is worth preventing us from following Jesus. Jesus, in whom we find our security, our life, our hope, the kingdom of God. The rich young ruler was seeking eternal life, to live a life that's real, purposeful, hopeful. In declaring, I turn to Christ, you are saying, I have found the answer to the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life, to share in that life that is real, purposeful, hopeful? It's not an end in itself. It's the beginning of the journey, or a key marker along the way, for what it means for you to answer God's call, Christ's call, to be his ambassador, representing Christ in the world, sharing the hope we have in Jesus. I'll be praying for the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. I want to also just say, those being baptized, you will be splashed with water. That is that sign, of course, of new birth in the Holy Spirit. And I'll be praying, as I lay on hands, for the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. In a sense, praying Paul's prayer for the Colossians. Read that prayer. It's a prayer for strengthening. It describes what strength looks like. And as the writer of the Hebrews reminds all of us, we can pray with confidence. Whatever our weakness, however we are tested, wherever following Jesus leads us, trusting we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in times of need.